So sometimes you know what's making you unhappy. Your boss is mean. You had a fight with your sister. Your husband spends more time watching TV than talking to you, and maybe with good reason. The problem is knowing what to do about it. Maybe you should stop being so sensitive. That is the unfeeling advice you would get from Michael and Sarah Bennett. He's a psychiatrist, she's a comedy writer, and also his daughter. And together they've come out with a new book called F Feelings. And you know what the F stands for. Their argument? Life is full of awful things that are beyond your control. So stop thinking about your feelings so much and focus on your actions. They talked with Raymond Tungekar.
We see feelings as being sort of an old tradition that goes back a long way. And while feelings give us a lot of our vitality and a spirit every day, we just keep coming back to the idea that there are more important things, particularly since your feelings are often affected by so many things you don't control. So trying to remain aware of your values or of how things are likely to turn out and how you want them to turn out, regardless of the fact that you're unhappy or angry or feeling needy. That's the serious side of the book that we do our best not to get too serious about.
Yeah, that's where I usually step in, and we'll put in something about how the obsession isn't so much with feelings, but with feeling good. And the joke we always use is that, you know, using heroin feels really good, but that doesn't make it a good idea. People need to focus less on what feels good and what they think means, you know, doing good. What do you think it means to be a good person? And what would they do to be a good person?
Well, isn't there a danger, though, not exploring your problems or the root of your emotions?
Well, not so much these days. I mean, perhaps around 1900, or if you're living in a society where everybody has a very stiff upper lip, people may be unaware of how they're feeling, but at least I don't run into that very often these days.
I think the other danger, though, is that people conflate finding the root of their problems with finding the answer to their problems. You know, if I can figure out why I can't be faithful in a relationship, then I will, from that point on, be faithful in all my relationships. But it doesn't really work that way. You know, if you find out that the problems in your life, or you believe they all stem from the way you were treated by your parent, confronting that parent probably won't be positive in the long run. It'll just make it harder to have a family relationship. It won't undo what they've done. If that parent's not a nice person, they won't apologize. You know, so it can sometimes be more dangerous to try and get to the root of the problem than beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you give me an example of that? I mean, what advice would you give to someone who, you know, feels insecure over something like their appearance or intelligence?
Well, we assume that some aspect of insecurity can be shyness or self-doubt or an innate quality that may not go away. And that the more important question is not whether you feel insecure, but whether your feelings of insecurity are affecting your life choices. There are many insecure people who are nevertheless very good at pushing themselves and are leading very full lives. And for them, the advice is to accept and really appreciate the strength it takes to do that, particularly when you don't feel secure. Those people in some ways are stronger than other people because it's hard to do those things when you don't have natural confidence.
And that's surprising to hear because, I mean, as a culture, we seem to be kind of obsessed with this idea that we should strive to be the best possible person that we can. And so hearing you say that we should accept insecurity and be proud of living a normal life, it almost sounds like you're settling or giving up in a way.
Well, no, I think the standards of the best possible person for most of us are unrealistic. You know, at least in the world of self-help, the best person is happy, rich, is stress-free. Most of us can't help whether we're happy on a given day. If you wake up determined to be happy, then step outside and a bird relieves itself on your head, you're now unhappy for reasons that had nothing to do with your own actions. But you might blame yourself because you promised yourself you'd be happy that day. So those sorts of goals or wishes, they only make you feel bad about yourself. They don't do anything to really improve who you are. What we're talking about isn't being resigned and settling. It's coming to terms with what your own limits are And being proud of what you do, it's not being apathetic to those limits. It's working hard to meet standards that are, you know, well considered and thought out, and being proud of doing all you can do to meet those standards. So it's not saying, well, I'm, you know, never going to be rich. I'm never going to be pretty. It's saying, you know, I might not be fantastic in a million ways, but I'm trying to still be a good spouse. I'm trying to still provide for my family, provide for myself, be a good person. That's a lot to be proud of. And that's not settling. Settling is doing nothing.
So you're basically asking people to better align their thoughts or wishes with the reality of the situation. But what about with something more serious? For instance, what would you tell someone who's living with depression or a trauma survivor or who's grieving? I mean, do you have any advice on how someone might live with feeling miserable?
Well, I think that's a very good example of what we're talking about. Some people who are grieving are going to feel better over time. They're going to rebound. Even some people with depression don't have it very bad. The episode may be brief and not recur for a long time. But for a lot of people, no matter what kind of treatment they get, grief and depression can persist. That's why it's so important to fight the negative thinking that goes with it. When you're depressed, you feel you must be doing something wrong to be feeling so bad and not be getting better. And what cognitive therapy and to some extent a good look at biblical studies or ethical studies tells you is that you can be afflicted with very negative thoughts from depression, plus all the other symptoms of low energy and lack of motivation and sadness and irritability. All these things feel so personal, and yet they just are what your brain is doing. So that if you can tolerate that and continue to try to live your life, get along with people, get some work done, it's very, very heroic.
Michael and Sarah Bennett are the authors of F Feelings, One Shrink's Practical Advice for Managing All of Life's Little Problems.